Turn now to Acts chapter 3. Reading verses 17 through 26, found on page 911 of the Pew Bible. And if you would keep your place there and turn back to Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 25 through 29. On page 727. Beginning with page 727, Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 25 through 29. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. They shall forget their shame and all the treachery they have practiced against me when they dwell securely in their land with none to make them afraid. When I have brought them back from the peoples, and gathered them from their enemies' lands, and through them have vindicated my holiness in the sight of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, because I sent them into exile among the nations, and then assembled them into their own land. I will leave none of them remaining among the nations anymore. I will not hide my face any more from them. When I pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 26. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that as Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. It shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. This is the word of the Lord. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Psalm 126, verses 1 and 2. In Acts chapter 3, a man who was born lame is healed by the name of Christ. Truly, he must have been like one who dreams. His mouth filled with laughter, his tongue with shouts of joy. We see in his healing the hope of restoration. And as the Apostle Peter calls the people of Israel to repentance, that is the very hope he sets before them, the hope of restoration. Repent. Turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things. Now, we have heard about this restoration before in the book of Acts. We heard about it in chapter 1, prior to the ascension of Christ, when his disciples asked him, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But how does Jesus answer? It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And instead, he points them to the sending of the Spirit from heaven and their calling to be his witnesses, starting in Jerusalem and reaching to the end of the earth. And when he is then taken up into heaven, angels assure the apostles that he will come again, that he will come again in the same way that they saw him go. And from that, we may understand that the time for restoring the kingdom will only come when Christ comes again. And Peter makes this explicit in Acts chapter 3. Heaven must receive him until the time for restoring all things. When Christ comes again, then all things will be restored. Until that day, the present time is a time for bearing witness to him, as Peter here does, in Jerusalem, before the house of Israel, anointed with the Spirit of Pentecost. the present time is a time for bearing witness. And this time for bearing witness is a time for repentance. For whenever witness is born to Christ, it demands a response. The one who hears that testimony, the testimony about Jesus, whenever he hears it, he may not ignore it without consequence. The hearing of it lays upon us an obligation. It lays upon us a demand that we turn to him in humility and submission. We may call the preaching of the gospel an invitation, but it is only an invitation in the sense that the church does not coerce those who hear it to bend their knee before it. But when Christ comes again, those who have refused, those who have stiffened their necks in pride, they will be broken beyond all healing. It is not a question of what we like. It is not a question of what we want. Question is this: who is seated upon the throne of heaven? Who rules all things? Peter assures us that the King of all is Jesus, the one who came to us in lowliness, the one whom we killed. He has been raised from the dead. He has ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He has been exalted over all things. We may continue to despise him. We may continue to reject him. But only for a while. Only for a time. For that time will come to an end. And what then will be the end of those who despised him? What will be the end of those who rejected him, but to perish in his wrath? For once his wrath is kindled, it shall not be quenched. Prior to his coming again is a time for bearing witness. Prior to his coming again is a time for repentance. And only when he comes again will he restore all things. But what is the restoration of all things? How are we to understand it? Notice all of what Peter says. He does not merely speak of the time for restoring all things. More precisely, he speaks of the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. The restoring of all things was foretold, the scriptures of the Old Testament. And when we read of restoration in the Old Testament, we find it connected to repentance, as in Acts chapter 3, and to the end of exile. We hear that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 21, where the prophet Moses said, "But from there, that is, from exile, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." Or as we read in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 25, "I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel when I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them from their enemies' lands." When the prophets of the Old Testament speak of restoration, they speak of God's people returning to him and being restored to his presence and being restored to their inheritance, namely, his kingdom. But these visions of restoration, they surpass in glory anything that Israel might have enjoyed prior to their exile in the land of Canaan. They are visions of peace without fear. They are visions of life without sorrow. They are visions of joy without end. They are visions of the kingdom of God in glory. As in Isaiah chapter 25, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth." That is to say, these visions of restoration are not visions of returning to Israel an earthly kingdom. These visions of restoration are visions of Christ making all things new. They are visions of his people being brought into a heavenly kingdom. When Peter calls the people of Israel to repentance, he is setting before them the hope of restoration. The hope of restoration in Christ. He is setting before them the hope of all things being restored by Christ. He is setting before them the hope of glory. That what was lost and ruined by sin, by Christ, will be made new. The kind of restoration that Christ brings is the kind of restoration that we see in the man who was born lame, but then was healed. A man who never knew what it meant to walk, but is now made to leap. It was the restoration of strength. It was the restoration of joy. It is the making of all things new. It is the making of a new world. A world without sin. A world without sorrow. A world without violence, a world without fear, a world without pride, a world of peace, a world of righteousness. World of rest, world of joy. This world, this kingdom, this glory, where all things are restored, where all things are as they ought to be. It is found in Christ. It is given by Christ. But we will not see it until he comes again. What then shall we see until he comes again? Ezekiel chapter 39, which speaks of this restoration, we read of the pouring out of the Spirit and of the gathering of God's people from the nations. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 28. I will leave none of them remaining among the nations anymore. And I will not hide my face anymore from them. When I pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. And both of these things we see in the book of Acts. We see the Spirit poured out upon the church on the day of Pentecost. we see God's people being gathered into the church from all nations. So as we said last Lord's Day, though we do not yet see the restoration of all things, we do see those times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. Those times of refreshing that come from the face of the Lord. For as sinners are drawn into the church through repentance and faith, they come to the presence of the Lord. As they turn to him in repentance, his face is turned to them in grace, to shine upon them and to be gracious to them, to give them rest and to bless them with peace. In the present time, the times of the churches gathering together for worship, they are times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But let us not suppose that these times of refreshing are somehow wholly different from the restoration of all things. As though these times of refreshing are mere consolation until we find what it is that we truly seek. For these times of refreshing, they come to us from the very place to which we are going. They come to us from the very kingdom which we are seeking. They come to us from the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven. Though we do not yet enjoy that kingdom in all its fullness, though we do not yet see it as it is, yet even now, the church, we are given a glimpse of it. We are given a taste of what it is and what we will be. At the restoration of all things, Christ will bring us into a world without fear. Yet even now he tells us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not afraid." At the restoration of all things, he will bring us into a world without violence and strife. Yet even now, he stands in our midst and speaks to us grace and peace. At the restoration of all things, he will raise us and glorify our bodies. Yet even now he fills us with his Spirit and gives to us a new heart. The restoration of all things will make us to sin no more. Yet even now, our sin is subdued. The restoration of all things, he will deliver us from all pride. Yet even now, he gives us his humility. The restoration of all things, he will fill our mouths with laughter and our tongues with joy. Yet even now our mouths are filled with the joy of his praise. The times of refreshing in the church, they are preparing us for the time of restoration in the kingdom. That time of restoration will not come until he comes again. Yet he has not left us here as orphans. We do not wait as those who are alone or have been forsaken. As we wait upon him, he invites us here to gather into his presence, to bow before him, and to receive from him all that we need until at last he comes again. May you gather together. When you do, may you be as those who dream. May your mouths be filled with laughter and your tongues with shouts of joy. Amen. Let us pray.